Shaking up LA fire and EMS crews, locking yourself in the ambulance, changing rural CPR guidelines, and we'll have another in our series of interviews with EMS 10 innovators from this year's EMS Today conference. If that's what you're looking for, you found it right here on this week's episode of the MedicCast.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
This is the MedicCast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the pod medic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of the MedicCast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to welcome all of you to this week's show. We've got a great episode coming up for you this week, including a news item that has some potential changes to CPR dispatch guidelines for rural and non-urban areas. Plus, we'll bring you an interview with paramedic and EMS leader Dave Grovedahl from Oklahoma, looking at his views on EMS excellence in rural communities. All of that coming up here next on the MedicCast. Before we get to all of that, though, I would like to make sure you understand to check out all the links and additional information available for you over at the MedicCast blog. You can find that at mediccast.com/blog. There's a show notes link at the top of the page. Just click that link and it'll take you right to a list of the most recent episodes. And you can scroll down there to find any episode that we've ever done here on the show. There's also a search box there on the right-hand side of the page. If you're looking for something in particular, you can put in some keywords there. But whatever the case may be, take some time and make sure you follow up on the information you hear or watch on the show each week and understand how it applies to your EMS practice and protocols. If you want to get back in touch with me, make sure you do so. I love to hear from you. You can email me by sending those emails in to podmedic@mac.com. Shoot me an email with your comments. Perhaps you have some questions on a show, or you want to send me some suggestions or interview ideas for future episodes. Whatever the case may be, I want to let you know that I work hard to respond back to every email that comes in, and I will get back to you. And so I want you to keep them coming. It helps me stay on target for the show. Also, if you're an Android user, check out the brand new free MedicCast app from the Google Play Store. iPhone and iPad users, hang in there. There's going to be a free MedicCast iOS app coming soon. That's enough contact info. We'll go ahead and get back into the show, picking up with this week's news. But one more thing. Please remember to support our sponsors. Let them know you heard about them here on the MedicCast. Contact them on Facebook or other places, but let them know. It helps keep the show coming out to you each week and keeps the lights on here at MedicCast Studios. Take a moment and tell them thanks for supporting the show. First up in the news this week is a staffing shakeup in the Los Angeles Fire Department. Yep. LA Fire and EMS is back in the news this week. It seems that they are experiencing a surge in EMS calls and they need more ambulances on the street to cover them. The plan is to take a firefighter paramedic off dozens of engine shifts and move them onto ambulances to cover the overload. They're going to be putting about 11 ambulances on the street each shift. Well, guess what? The firefighters don't like it. There's no surprise there, of course. I'd rather sit on my butt while the so-called other side runs five times the call volume that I do. I can understand it. But again, no one says that out loud, do they? There are cries of safety issues, reduced staffing that'll endanger lives. Well, what about the lives of the patients that are sitting around waiting for an ambulance to come and help them, and there's just not enough ambulance to help them? Seriously, I'm getting tired of these kinds of arguments. This is why I have a real problem with most fire-based EMS services and why ambulances should be falling under the purview of a healthcare organization and not a public safety organization. It just doesn't often meld well. The fact of the matter is, safety is not an issue here. EMS just runs more calls than fire departments do, and covering the same area with an overstaffed fire department, well, you can use some of those people to cover the ambulance side as well. I hope that you'll check this out, look at this article, and then senior staff and policymakers need to understand that fire department issues often aren't in the same interests as a healthcare organization might bring to the table. Now, I do applaud LA Fire Department for making this move forward, and tell the city council out there to get out of the picture. Let the fire department plan what they need to do to plan their utilization and staffing issues. Stop just repeating what the union reps are whispering in your ear. I'm sure all of you in the audience have an opinion about what I'm saying, so I'm a big boy. I can take it. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you think. Maybe I can share your opinion later on in a future episode, but let me know what you think about this and other issues that happen similarly. You can email me at podmedic@mac.com and tell me your opinion and share your thoughts with the MedicCast community. Next up is a look at an obvious scene safety situation and how that EMS crew handled the problem. This comes from just down the road from me in Aberdeen, Maryland. EMS crews there responded to a sick person call in their area when they encountered a large group of people in the street outside the patient's home. And they seemed to be, at least from what they could tell, engaged in a massive brawl. So what do you do? Well, probably you do exactly what they did. The EMS crew locked the doors of their ambulance and sheltered in place while the fight went on around their ambulance, literally around them. They called in police assistance on their radio, reporting that there were objects being thrown around, some of them striking the ambulance sides. This is important to understand because we talk about scene safety here very frequently on the show. Now, the driver tried to drive away but was afraid to really move the ambulance because there were people all around and he was afraid he was going to run over somebody. Deputy sheriffs eventually arrived. The crowd had already dispersed on their own, though, and the EMS crew was eventually able to go in and take the woman who had called to the hospital. But this story points out an all-too-common situation that EMS crews are encountering and how we should probably handle these sorts of situations when we encounter them. Aberdeen is usually a pretty quiet place, and this type of incident involving an EMS unit is almost unheard of. That is why I think it's important for us to all maintain vigilance and awareness surrounding scene safety. Problems can occur even in places that you don't usually expect to have violent situations or encounters. So make sure you and your crew are safe at all times when on a call from the time you leave the station until you are safely parked again at the end of the run after you've gone to the hospital. Just like I say at the end of every episode, remember scene safety, BSI. Last up in the news this week is a press release I picked up out of the American Heart Association regarding recommendations for compression-only CPR. We've heard a lot about that in past years. A review of the studies that led to that recommendation by a Swedish researcher shows that those studies largely looked at EMS systems in urban areas, and that there's really not enough research to support a hands-only CPR approach for bystanders in rural or even some suburban areas with longer response and transport times. Now, there were 10 studies that led to the original recommendations in the most recent 2010 ECC guidelines, but only one of them looked at a system that could even be considered to have a rural or an extended response time greater than 15 minutes. In those situations, there is evidence, according to the authors, that including respirations and ventilation in bystander CPR was an important part of the survival curve. Now, more research is needed on the topic, certainly, but it points out that sometimes a one-size-fits-all approach to care is not wise in EMS. What works for one part of the country in a given system may not work in other parts of the country. We are seeing this approach with some of the various community paramedic programs that we see springing up all over the country. Each of them is developing their own set of procedures and operating guidelines and their goals and benchmarks based on what they see as the needs of their community specifically. This article is a reminder that every patient is different, and indeed every patient population is different too. While it's important to watch what other EMTs and paramedics are doing when they take care of their patients and report about it, we do need to look at their success through the lens of how our system operates and what areas that in our systems really need improvement or change. I'm curious if you've seen something like this change something in your area and then it went back to the old way. I urge you to share your story here, and maybe I can post an article about it on the MedicCast page so others can learn from you. You know, that's the value of our community here on the Medicast, and I hope you'll support it and continue to bring in your emails and leave comments over on the Medicast site as well. So reach out to me by email, podmedic@mac.com, or leave a comment on the website for the show notes for this episode or in this article. For the tip of the week this week, we're going to be looking at an interview with Dave Grovedal. He's the executive director of a small EMS service in LaFleur County, Oklahoma, but he has big ideas about the service that his system can provide. By being creative with the resources he has, Dave is providing a level of service that I have to say many urban areas would be proud of. That's why he won one of the EMS 10 Innovator Awards this year at EMS Today 2013. Check out this interview segment I did when I got a chance to sit down with David in our podcast studio at EMS Today. And again, I'd like to offer a special thank you to the gang at EMS Today and Penwell, as well as for Physiocontrol, who sponsored the booth, for making our coverage of the EMS Today event and these speakers possible. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Innovations in Patient Care. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we're back here at EMS Today 2013 with another one of our EMS 10 awardees, and it's Dave Grovedal.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm having a great time at the convention.
Yeah, congratulations on your award for the EMS 10 Awards this year.
Thank you. The award was given to me, but it absolutely was a system-wide award for us in Eastern Oklahoma.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You're really changing the paradigm for what happens with rural versus urban EMS.
Well, not to give a shameless plug to EMS Today, but you know, I've been coming to this convention for several years now, and I sit and I listen to the lectures and the advice that's coming out, and I'm hearing about these systems doing it. And I went back to our own system out in rural Oklahoma, and I said, there's no reason why we can't. And so we did.
And you did it. So tell us some specific things you're doing, because I come from a rural part of Maryland, certainly probably not as near as rural as where you're from, but you know, we have those arguments that say, well, we can't compete with the things, the guys with the rapid response time, as if time is the only drug we give. It's the only treatment we use.
We actually use time to our advantage in the opposite direction. A lot of the urban systems talk about time, you know, we only have 5-minute transport times to the hospital. We have an hour transport time, so we have to ask the question, what can we do for our patients? And so some of the things that we've been doing, we looked at STEMI. When I first came to Eastern Oklahoma 4 years ago, I came from Wyoming. So I went from pioneer to super rural. I didn't really gain a whole lot of ground, but we walk into a house, we look at the patient, we recognize 12 lead just like anybody else does, but we have 45 minutes to an hour with the patient, so we really have an opportunity to change the patient condition in our care and actually see very positive changes. So we added STEMI. We went to our vendors and we said, look, we need to be able to do this. And not just vendors that we're seeing out here on the show floor, but Verizon. We went to them and we asked them, we said, you know, 3G is not impossible in our area. So you need to turn it on for us and you need to help us work through the challenges of being a rural system to get to where we need to go. We're at point A, we need to get to point B and you need to help us get there. So STEMI, stroke, cardiac arrest, all of the things that are buzzwords these days, we're doing all of those things. And our hospitals were resistant initially to us because we are a rural system. We were not the urban system that they were focusing on, and we just didn't take no for an answer.
I heard you drug them kicking and screaming all the way to success.
We have. Sometimes we have had some of our physicians that have agreed with us and said, absolutely, we need to do this. But more often than not, we had them look at us and say, well, you're a rural system. You just need to accept what you're doing and move on. And we refuse to accept that. And so we drug our hospitals in kicking and screaming in certain cases. I read a great article a while back that talked about EMS being driving healthcare into the hospitals. And we are the poster child for that act.
So what are some of the things you're most proud of is changing the way that EMS providers are operating in the field? I know there's some exciting things you guys are doing with intubation rates and things like that.
Absolutely. My big push with EMS 10 award is to turn around and let all the other rural and super rural and pioneer systems around the country know that they have the ability to do anything that they set their mind to. The things that the physicians here are talking about are not impossible, and they're not out of reach for us, and they don't require us to spend a gajillion dollars, which I know is everybody's fear right now. But things like 12-lead, getting with your providers and actually sending them into the hospital, it didn't make sense for us to go buy an off-the-shelf product that receives the 12 leads. So we went back to our vendor. We said, hey, this heart monitor has the ability to send an image to a computer. We should be able to send it to you in an email. And that's exactly what we do. We go to the house. Our crews have 6 minutes from the time the word chest pain is said to have a 12 lead. They hit the send button on the heart monitor. It goes into an email. It goes to a very simple email that goes and is retrieved from the hospital. We call them up and say, hey, it's there. They look. They forward it to the doctor. iPhone technology, it doesn't require a $1 million being spent. And we are making humongous improvements in not only our community, but our community is our citizens. Yep. And so we're making humongous changes and saves in with our citizens, and that's what we're proud of.
And in rural communities, your community, it is not just some faceless individual. It is your neighbor, your family member, your somebody you go to church with on Sunday. It is really much more personal than you might find in a more busy urban environment.
Exactly. And I think it can best be summed up with, I was looking through our community newspaper this morning, and yesterday we had a cardiac arrest at the Walmart. Well, yeah. What is the front page article on the newspaper today? EMS responds to cardiac arrest at Walmart. So, you know, that's the call for yesterday was that. And so the names of the people are out there. We knew the person when we walked up to them. We knew the family. We're going to see the family over and over and over again in the years to come. And that cardiac save, that return of circulation, although in that particular patient's case didn't equal a tremendous outcome, but the family was appreciative, and they support our EMS system, and in our community especially. Our community knows that the ambulance service is doing everything humanly possible to make great outcomes and great strides in healthcare for them.
So what are your thoughts about a program like the EMS 10 Awards program? Now that you're a part of an elite group in EMS, a group, I know your system's responsible, but you're the EMS 10 Award winner here. You're the drive behind some of this. And what do you think about EMS 10 and similar recognition award systems in EMS?
Well, I've been in this industry 15 years. I've always been around the rural systems. I was in Wyoming prior to coming to Oklahoma, and sometimes we just get lost. And a lot of it is our own fault because we don't stand up on the tables in the mountaintops and scream about rural EMS. We just kind of just say, well, we're going to take care of our own little system, and we just kind of close ourselves in. This award gives the opportunity to those who don't necessarily get recognized or are known to be out there that are doing great things, because there are a lot of great systems that are out there that are just doing their own thing in the rural environment, and they're doing a fantastic job. We have a lot of them around where we're at, and I think. And what I plan on doing with EMS 10 is really, really kind of trying to put some more spotlight on those great systems to recognize them, because we have some fantastic urban systems, but we have fantastic rural and super rural systems too.
And really a diverse group of people nominated this year. I mean, there was everything from you guys to a major ambulance service to a college student who began their own EMS program on their campus and drove change just in that small community. Really, just something for everyone. I think someone out there says, wow, I'll never get an EMS 10 award. I think the answer to that is you can drive change as an individual and gain this award simply by being an innovator and coming up with maybe not an expensive idea or a difficult idea, but something simple that makes a major difference in your system.
Absolutely. I get goosebumps when I talk about it. And, you know, 15 years ago when I started in EMS, our job was to transport. You know, that was what we did. And we were proud of the fact that we went to the house, put them on a stretcher, and took them to the hospital. And I don't think there's any better time in history to be in EMS. This is the most exciting time. We're doing so many great things across the industry, and there's a lot of really great things that are happening, a lot of moving and shaking that's occurring, and I think everybody has the opportunity to show, you know, what great things they're doing, and it's just going to elevate the system even more.
Well, I want to thank you for innovating in your system and sharing some of those innovations with us and being a part of this program, Innovations in Patient Care.
Well, I absolutely appreciate the opportunity to be a voice for rural EMS.
And I want to thank all of you as listeners and members of the audience here at EMS Today 2013. We're here thanks to GEMS, Penwell. We're thanks to Physiocontrol for sponsoring this podcast studio, as well as Innovations in Patient Care, and we will be back with more episodes, so you want to make sure you look for episodes in iTunes, look for episodes over at the ProMed Network at promednetwork.com, and in the meantime, I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. I'll be back soon with more episodes, and you can remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to Innovations in Patient Care. And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. I want to thank all of you for checking out the show this week and remind you to follow up on the information you got in this week's show over at MedicCast.com/blog. Over there, you'll find a show notes link right there at the top of the page. Take a moment, follow up on the information, the links to the news items you find, perhaps the tip of the week segment links, all that information you can find. You can also sign up for the email newsletter, and that'll bring you those links directly to your email inbox every week, so you can get them sent right to you and follow up that way. There's a form right there on the right-hand side of the page. Just fill that out, and that'll get you the MedicCast newsletter coming. You'll get an email first to confirm that it was you signing up, and then you can get your newsletter from there on out. If you want to get back in touch with me, I welcome your comments. Send me those emails in to podmedic@mac.com. I love to get your news ideas, links to ideas for interview segments and comments. Whatever you want to send to me, get them in here. I do respond back to every email that comes in, so I hope you'll keep those emails coming. I look forward to receiving them. If you want to catch up with me on social media pages and sites like Twitter or Facebook, you can find me in most of those places under the handle PodMedic. So catch me at twitter.com/PodMedic, facebook.com/PodMedic, and make sure you friend or follow me as the case may be there. You can also check out the MedicCast on our Facebook page. Now over 4,000 followers, head over to facebook.com/MedicCast. Click the like button right there at the top of the page and join the MedicCast community over on Facebook. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. Make sure you spread the word about the show and share the MedicCast with your colleagues or students in the EMS world. I'll be back here each week for you and for them with new episodes, interviews, tips, and more every Monday morning so you can start off your EMS week. Tell someone else about the MedicCast today. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. It's time for me to close out this show. Don't forget to thank our sponsors, and also remember, Scene Safety and BSI.